Happy Friday, Cyclone Nation, and welcome to this week's Cyclone Fanatic podcast, the Channel Seed podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. I am Chris Williams, joined by my partner in crime. We brought him back, Brent Bloom, columnist at CycloneFanatic.com. How are you?
It's nice out. I'm happy.
It is.
Finally get some warm weather.
Yeah.
Finally, summer. Spring, summer. We miss spring.
Yeah, because they had that like blizzard.
Right. May 2nd. There's a blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're finally in the spring. When you see severe weather, and I think we're going to get some severe weather this week.
Yeah.
You know when Brett McIntyre comes on the air that it's almost summertime.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to love when McIntyre breaks in with the breaking footage. I tried to get McIntyre to take me chasing with him one time, but apparently he's done with the chasing. He doesn't chase as much anymore.
He's just he's a big ego now. He's just in the studio.
He's one of the suits.
Channel 13 meteorologist Brett McIntyre.
He's a suit.
Guys. He is a suit.
It's a Channel C podcast, channel.com. There, you know, we have the Cyclone Fanatic golf outing today. If you're listening to this, there's a good chance that that's where I'm at right now. Check out our Twitter, Cyclone Fanatic. Also like us on Facebook because we're going to be posting updates from it, leaderboard coverage.
That's awesome.
Yeah, isn't it? Anywho, no, the guys at Channel, from Channel Seed, you know, they can't play because they're planting. Planting has been moved back this year because of all that winter weather we talked about.
Right.
Yeah, my buddy, Mike Dreyer. You know Mike?
Absolutely.
Farragut, Iowa, the pride of Farragut, Iowa. So we're going to Mexico next week, which we'll talk about here momentarily. But we're going with, Ashley and I are going with these friends of ours.
Sure.
And he's a farmer. And, you know, I talked to him on the phone last night. When we scheduled this trip, we put it this late in May, just so planning wasn't messed with, you know, because we're like, well, worst case scenario, you'll be done by the second week in May. Oh, heck no. Once you start doing that stuff, that's when Mother Nature bites you, Brent.
I have. The closest I've been to farming was reading farm reports on KMA
radio. The good old days. Old
when
school.
When you talk about the
September
cows and
the corn down five at 685.
And when I first started to do that, I had no idea what I was doing. I was like Scott Drew in the second half. Just clueless, but I got through it somehow. But no, you have a great appreciation when you're around it for this has got to be a really stressful time for him to leave.
Yeah.
So those coronas will be going down nice and smooth.
Well, we already discussed it. I mean, he's ready for a vacation. Gosh darn it, I'm ready for a vacation.
You deserve one.
And the plane ride down, I mean, we're going in the morning. We leave Des Moines at 5:45. We probably will not drink from Des Moines to Houston.
Do they sell beer on the planes at 7 in the morning?
I would think that if it's after 5 a.m., because that's like the law, right? After 5, you can start buying in a...
It depends on the state.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're in the air. This is federal air we're flying over.
Can you tweet that? I honestly want to know
next week
if there was alcohol available on the plane that early.
I will drink from Houston to Cancun, though.
Of course.
There's no...
What time do you leave?
Well, I mean, we gotta. I don't know. I gotta look. We arrive in Cancun at like 11:20, though. So, I mean, this is still pretty darn early. But I am drinking from Houston to Cancun,
and it'll taste your first beer / drink on vacation is always the best beer.
Yeah,
actually, you know, your first beer of the night is always the best beer. And then it's kind of a law of diminishing returns. It's still good.
Yeah.
Kind of like the first Krispy Kreme donut. The first one's always the best. And then after two, you're like, well, was good.
Bush Light, Brent.
So, yeah. Well, yeah, you got to plug
sponsor here.
Plug the right people. But no, I'm happy for you. And the rest of us will be working away.
We will. Don't give me that. You did your whole Florida thing. You go to Florida like every month. Don't give me the whole spiel. Ashley and I have not left the Midwest. Like we went on a couple little trips, but since we got married 3 years ago. So we're looking forward to this.
You're due.
Yeah, we're due. Doing the all-inclusive route. Been preparing the liver for it as much as possible. But, you know, a little bit, about an hour and a half south of Cancun is where we're going. So we're going to be down in the absolute middle of nowhere, which is what I look for. I had no cell phone service. You ain't going to see me on a computer. Nothing. We will have stuff here at Fanatic, though. You and I, when we get done with this, we're going to record a podcast for next week where we talk football. And then I interviewed John Walters yesterday.
Very cool.
You'll love this, man, because you love play-by-play. It's your passion.
Walters
is. Talked a lot with Walters about his roots as a play-by-play man. A lot of stuff in there I don't think that a lot of fanatics know about John. In his
Neither
career.
Do I, and I hang out with John.
I didn't know.
I don't know. I am looking forward to that.
I did not know before today that he was the play-by-play guy at Drake.
Yes, I did know that.
I didn't. He was Larry Kotler before Larry Kotler was Larry Kotler.
It's just a line of legends.
No, but it's cool. I have not transcribed it yet, but I'm going to do that this weekend, and that will be on the site next week. You're in charge, man, though. If breaking news happens, it's on you.
10 years for Walters now. Can you imagine that? He started in the fall of 2003.
What was fascinating about this conversation, which you just reminded me of, is there is a generation, a lot of people listening to this podcast right now, who don't know Pete Taylor.
And you know, why would they?
They didn't listen to him.
Right.
They've heard his name. But that was a cool answer because I asked John to describe Pete Taylor to the 20-year-old engineering major that's walking down Central Campus listening to the podcast right now. And it's a cool answer. Walters, he nailed it, man. He nailed it.
That doesn't surprise me. It does surprise me you'd come up with such an intellectual question like that. That's a good question.
Well, thank you.
That's good. I'm looking forward to
it. I love doing these conversation pieces that we're doing. Do you like them? Is it good reading, or would you rather a guy write a story? Or do you like the conversation spelled out like I've
been
doing it?
Well, what I like about it is when you hear these people you're talking to regularly, when you read the story, you can actually hear them talking.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it cool. When I read that Bill Fennelly piece you did, which was outstanding, you hear Bill in the way he answers those questions. Like, you can hear his voice. And sometimes when you don't know people, it's hard to get a good gauge of those, you know, Q&A type style. But when you know what they sound like, it really helps. It's almost like a radio interview on paper.
Well, everybody's going to know what Walter sounds like, if anybody.
Exactly. I think they're great. I think it's a nice feature to get to know these people who you see and you hear throughout the season, but you don't really know everything about them.
It's cool. Just listening to Walters talk about it, I never met Pete, and listening to him talk, I mean, he talked about Pete for a good 10 minutes in the interview, and it's cool. Yeah, I think y'all will like it.
Iowa State is extremely lucky to go from Pete Taylor to John Walters to I never met Pete either.
You didn't.
He was my idol growing up.
See, I was going to say, that would, to
but
me,
I never,
surprise me.
I never met him. I was looking forward to going to Iowa State in the fall of 2003.
Yeah.
And one of my first things I was going to do was be that pest, you know, that freshman who just...
You wanted to be Pete's
I wanted to go, like, email and say, hey, anything you need, I'm glad to help. Unfortunately, he passed away in March of 2003. Never got that chance, but have gotten to know John really well.
Yeah.
And just if there's a classier person in the area, I wouldn't believe it because he's a pro's pro.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't want to give too much away because I want people to read the piece.
Of course.
But that will be up. I don't know exactly what day, but sometime next week we'll have that. And if you don't mind, since I'm going to be, you know, put it on the Twitter and all that. Can you handle that?
I don't have your following, but I will to my minions. You know, my 40% of your followers, they will get the news.
Let's talk basketball.
Yes.
It was a big week for basketball, and I was looking forward to this conversation with you. This Andrew Wiggins character has signed with Bill Self. Bill Self always wins, Brent. He always wins. Just when you think he got him down, Bill freaking Self rears his ugly head once again. I was very adamant. 2 weeks ago, he's very adamant. I love Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's one of my favorite players ever in the Big 12 Conference. I love him.
Except for his flopping.
Well, yeah, but he's a smart guy.
He's
no
a
pun
smart
intended.
Guy.
Okay? I was adamant. It's Oklahoma State, man. This is the year. This is the year. Self's got to replace five starters.
Right.
He's never had to do that before. I mean, he's had to do a lot of things, but he's never had to replace five
Usually
starters.
Usually they've had at least one guy.
So what does Bill Self do? Bill Self gives us all the middle finger and gets, you know, and I've never seen Andrew Wiggins play. I've seen the highlights. I'm going with the others are saying, the best high school player to come out since LeBron James. Chalk it up. Number 10, Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
You think they win another one?
Yeah, they're going to win it. Because you now not only do you have the best coach in college basketball, which is Bill Self.
Right.
Very adamant. Not only do you have that, do you really think that Perry Ellis isn't going to get... How many Kansas big men do you go, well, this guy needs to take the next step before they can, you know, before Kansas can win another title? They always do. Nadir Tharp is a solid prospect.
It's okay for a point guard.
Yeah. But at Kansas, with those guys around him, he's good enough.
Yeah.
And with Wiggins there, I mean, I think Perry Ellis is going to be the biggest most improved player in the Big 12 next year. He came on strong at the end of what? Bloom, do not doubt Bill Self.
Oh, he's probably, when you add up all the elements of coaching, I believe he is the best in college basketball.
I would agree.
Game plan, recruiting, handling the media, not being a jackwagon like Calipari. He's fantastic. It's still tough because Oklahoma State has one thing on Kansas, and that's they have this experience at every position.
Yeah.
But it's not just Wiggins, though, in this class that they're bringing in.
No!
I mean, they've got the Wayne Selden kid who played with Niang at the prep school.
Yep.
He's a top 20
Tilton,
guy.
Tilton school.
They've got the number 3 center coming in, and Embiid, who's a big body who can block shots. He won't be Jeff Withey, but he will at least fill a role. Traylor's a decent freshman this year. They'll bring him back. But dude, Wiggins, from what I've seen of him, he's not LeBron, obviously.
No.
The question is,
expecting that is crazy.
And I don't believe he will be as productive as Kevin Durant was at Texas. That's impossible. That's an impossible hype to live up to. But he is an incredible athlete. But what does that get you? I wonder. It's a totally different level when you're playing in West Virginia where he did last year to the Big 12. His athleticism, he will still be the top athlete in the conference. But can he shoot? It's easier to shut down an athlete if they can't shoot. And shooting's his question mark. If he can make down open jump shots, he's going to be almost unstoppable because he can get to the rim at will. But with three guys defending him, they will be able to stop him. Just because he's on the team, this is not LeBron adding LeBron when he was 18.
But don't you think Bill Self makes up for a lot of what you're talking about?
Sure. Sure.
The thing is, and I've been reading our boards, and God love the fanatics. You know, a lot of them think, man, you know, this is overhyped. Self ain't going to do it again. Dude, we think this every year. He always wins. Brent,
I believe his cast entering this year, that is the 13-14 year, was better than at this time last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We didn't know how good McLemore was going
Absolutely.
To be.
Dude, no question.
But Wiggins, if Wiggins would come out, if they had the high school rule not existing anymore, you come outright from high school, he would go before McLemore.
He'd be the top pick?
He would be the top pick, no question. And he's that good. He's 6'8", 220, and there's almost no gravity that applies to him. I mean, he has unbelievable hops, but that athleticism gets you so far in the Big 12. And if you look at Oklahoma State, 1 through 5, they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They've got
the
big three. They're all NBA guys.
Yeah, Forte.
I think Cobbins is a really good, solid post guy.
Forte is the second coming of Keaton Page.
He's knocks down shots, and then Williams is a pretty good post guy as well. Those two are head and shoulders above the rest of the
class.
Okay,
who's more talented, Kansas or Oklahoma State? I'm framing an argument here.
Pure talent.
Well, okay, so if you're
that's
here,
tough.
If you're,
I
the general manager and you can have the talent, you can have either roster.
Yeah.
Take everything else out of it.
Kansas
can have either roster.
Kansas's.
So you will take Kansas's, and if that's truly the case, see, I think that if that's truly the case, then you have to pick Kansas to win the league, because then you're stacking up Bill Self against Travis Ford.
But the talent is young. And so you saw, there's two arguments here. Kentucky's a perfect case for both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 2 years ago, they have unbelievable talent, and it was young. But Anthony Davis was ready for this stage, and he showed it in his freshman year. Same with, you know, their point guard, Teague, was ready.
They had the other kid with the two last names.
Right.
The Gilchrist.
Kid Gilchrist.
Yeah, yeah.
Also a freshman, also ready for the prime time. This year, they thought they could just replace those guys with young freshmen and be fine. A lot of people predicted them in the top three, but some freshmen aren't ready.
But they didn't have Perry Ellis. I mean, they didn't have Nadir Tharp.
And that's the qualifier, is how good are those role guys? And Wiggins is going to be good, but he's not going to score more than 20 points a game. There's no way. There's no way. But Perry Ellis, if Perry Ellis chips in with 15.
Dude, I'm telling you, he's going to have a monster year.
Tharp will score 8 to 10.
You saw what happened in Kansas City. Iowa State did the whole we're not going to guard you thing to Perry Ellis, and he killed him.
But will he develop a killer instinct? Even in the NCAA tournament, he was way too passive at times.
Yeah.
That's his knock.
I think
he
I'm probably too high on him, but I've just seen so many of these Kansas guys post.
Sure.
Who you go, well, this guy really needs to take a step forward, and they always do.
Look at the line. Darrell Arthur. The Morris twins, Thomas Robinson,
exactly.
Jeff Withey. It's now a theme.
Yes.
It's not a mistake.
No, it's not a coincidence
and
that this keeps happening.
And Bill Self is in the top five of best X and O guy in the business. And what makes Kansas always so good is they defend really well. And that doesn't change. You give a defensive-minded coach great athletes, and it's almost unfair on that end of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be good, but the Oklahoma State has an advantage in the point guard spot.
Correct.
Smart is so much better than Tharp.
Yes, it's not even
Smart's
comparable.
A top five pick too. Now Wiggins will go ahead of him, but Smart might be the better college player next year. Just
yeah.
from that standpoint,
I would agree. I love
and he's a game changer. He is.
Yeah. So who would you pick right now? You saw I put out my new power rankings and I bumped Kansas ahead of Oklahoma State. I'm asking you for yours.
They're 1A and 1B. Right?
I completely agree, but you have to name one right now. Who would you go with?
Oklahoma State, just
okay.
based on age.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It took me 24 hours. I was going to write that immediately after I heard of the Wiggins news because I was still leaning Oklahoma State. But then, you know, I took a day.
Self v. Ford is not fair.
No, it's just... Not. It's not at all. It's like you versus Tron in the bench pressing contest, you know? It's not fair.
Sadly, it's not fair. You're right.
It's not
I'm not fair. Even argue that point.
Let's talk a couple other teams in the Big 12, including Iowa State.
Yes.
This is one that I was pondering the other day because I think you can go multiple arguments here. I'll give you a combo, a front court combo. That you could
take
for next year. For next year, you can count experience, you can count talent, whatever you want. You can have Austin
mm-hmm.
and Jefferson of Baylor.
Like those guys.
Or you can have Niang and Edgem of
Iowa
State.
That's not fair.
Yeah, no.
Because they're different post guys.
But it's a good conversation to have. Of course they're different post guys. That's part of the argument that's part of the conversation that we're about to have.
Who?
Because I was getting ready to write that Niang... And Edgem's the best returning backcourt in the front court in the Big 12, but I don't know if I can say that.
You can't.
I could have had Austin gone pro.
Definitely.
Then I think it's legitimate. But now I'm kind of like, I don't think you can. That's a very arguable statement.
They're different guys, so it's a tough case to make. Front courts are two-way streets, right? So offensively, Edgem and Niang will be as productive as Austin and Jefferson. But defensively...
I would venture to say more productive because Niang's numbers, I think, will take a huge bump next year.
They will, but what did he score? 13 last year?
Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
Is he going to get much more than 18?
Boy, he will lead them in scoring.
Yes. And Edgem will be around 14. I mean, he is who he is. He's not going to magically start scoring 25 points a game.
No.
And so they'll probably, between the two of them, average 35 points, I think, at most. And that'd be great. That'd be fantastic. And the for Baylor, Austin will bump up his production. He'll probably be a 17-10 guy. Jefferson's a 17-9-8 guy. So they'll be really close offensively. But defensively, I think Austin and Jefferson's length give them an edge on that end of the floor.
I think it's more than an edge.
It's a big edge.
I think
on
they're
defense.
A lot better than the Niang Edgem combo on defense.
And when you throw in the football player Gathers,
yeah,
who's just he should not be playing basketball.
Again, the not fair thing.
Yeah, he's 6'9", 260, and I think that's actually he's probably closer to 285, but just a monster
mm-hmm.
who gives them a huge presence in there. And they've got the Prince kid, Prince Ebe, who's a young guy this year, but will be better next year. They've got a little more depth in the front court than Iowa State does. But if I have a guy, a post player in the conference that I need to get 25 points from, there's not anybody better than Yang.
I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with
that. He can carry the offense at times. He's that good.
And I think he will next year. I mean, especially when you saw him, just the different ways that they used him. I found a very profound statement by Billy Finley in a podcast that I did with him a couple weeks ago. And he noted that the women's basketball staff had taken note of how Fred used Niang to use Hallie Kristofferson next year.
That's really cool.
I thought that was interesting because, you know, Bill and, you know, the staff are sitting around watching the men play and they go, wait a second, we should do that with one of our players. So I think, and Bill, in the piece that you noted earlier, he even noted Fred's creativity when it came to moving a guy like Niang around. So I'm curious to see just, because George is hitting it hard in the offseason, so I've been told.
Right.
And let's just say he trims down just a little bit and becomes just a little bit more athletic. I think the whole Niang not being athletic thing was way overplayed last year. He's much more athletic than what most people talking about that are giving him credit for. But let's just say he gets a little bit more athletic and his jump shot just gets a little bit better and he's a little bit more of a ball handler. Dude, Hoiberg's going to, if you think what you saw last year from George Niang was special, he's going to have a whole lot more artillery in that gun come his sophomore year.
How will teams defend him is the second part of that, because he got pretty much single coverage all year.
Mm-hmm.
On when you have Clyburn and Lucius and McGee, you can't leave him. You can't double Niang and then leave one of those guys open for a three. So part of what Niang's productivity will be are other guys making shots. And Iowa State has capable people, but who are they? We're not sure yet.
Yeah, which Matt Thomas is going to have to be a real deal. He has to.
He will shoot regardless. But if you can sag off somebody, let's say Monty Morris, I have never seen Monty play in person, so I'm just hypothetically, he struggles to shoot the three ball. If you can take his defender and move, like Iowa State did against several teams this year, where you sag off their worst shooter, double the post, and then makes George's life more difficult, could depend and affect his productivity. But you're right. He has potential to score in so many different ways, and where he can be really good is getting to the free throw line.
Yeah.
That's where the good scores become great scores, is those freebies at the line.
The scenario you just described is what scares the bejesus out of me about the thought of Boo Boo Powell being their starting point guard. You don't have to guard him. Don't guard him.
Not now.
Well, what's weird about Boo Boo, too, is, I mean, we talk a lot about the Capital City League for some reason on this podcast, but, I mean, he's a good offensive player in that league. Now, granted, the defense is obvious. Nobody, even good defenders don't play defense in that league.
Right.
But he shows the ability to hit a three-point shot.
Sure, it's just a different pressure.
I get it.
Especially when you're not shooting. Now, I'll give this to Boo Boo. If he has carte blanche to go shoot whenever he wants, maybe
my point.
He becomes better.
You let me right into it. So if he goes into next year knowing, hey, senior year, I got to be the man, maybe we see a different shade of Boo Boo Paolo that we've never seen before.
Happened with Deontay.
Yeah.
And I know people gave Corey Lucius a hard time last year because he would take some quote-unquote bad shots. But he had to do that almost because it at the very least kept teams honest.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that if you left Corey open and if you didn't guard him 30 feet from the basket, he was going to jack one up. And that's the system Fred has employed, where there's never really a bad shot because every shot creates a purpose later down the road.
Which is why I think, too, that this Bluford kid, I actually think that he probably isn't getting enough play. And maybe I'll be proven dead wrong here, because JUCOs, you just never know. But from what I understand, I mean, this guy was on a terrible team. He was face guarded constantly, double teamed constantly. He still made 40% of his 3-point shots. If nobody knows who he is, I could see him having a couple 30-point games next year.
30 may be a bit high, but,
well, I'm just saying, like, couldn't you see if Alabama A&M's in town and, like, you know what I mean? Like,
you just start shooting and making them.
Listen, now I just talked myself into a corner. I've never seen KJ Bluford play. I've talked to people about him. I've interviewed coaches, the guys about him, and they're intrigued, I think. I think that's a good word to put about KJ Bluford. I think that very intrigued, not very sure, but very intrigued about what this guy could do. We've already made the Mike Taylor comparison. I mean, I think that that's pretty accurate. I think it's pretty accurate when you're talking about this kid.
Well, in an Iowa State system, somebody has to shoot. Who wants to shoot? It's a fun problem to have if you're a player because the pace will be pretty much the same. Is Dustin Hoge does not have the reputation as a guy who's going to come in and shoot a bunch.
See, and that's another concern because that's another one of those guys. That's kind of your Kevin Young. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I've never seen Dustin Hoge play. Looking forward to watching that in the Cap City League. He's a guy who I'm very intrigued by, if I can use that word again. Mm-hmm. But if he can't shoot, everything's different because last year what made the team so dangerous is unless Bubu Paolo was on the floor, you had five guys who could score at any given time. Some people are going to have to step up their game. If it's Hoge, if it's Bubu, I think Bubu has another gear, by the way. I led you down that road for a reason. He's never proven it, but he's had some roadblocks that have kept him from being a polished basketball player at this point. He wasn't on scholarship, the whole legal issue. Did you read that Ethos magazine piece on Bubu Paolo?
I did.
Apparently, well, he's got a new lease on life.
As well, he should.
Absolutely.
That's a circumstance that hopefully nobody has to deal with. I can't even imagine. So to have him back and Bubu doesn't get as much credit as he probably has earned because he hasn't been asked to ever be a scorer.
No.
He's been asked to come in, guard, and set the pace, which he's done. If Fred says, hey, Bubu, we're going to need you to come in and actually score 6 to 8 points this year, I think he could do it. He's a guy that likes proving people wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't necessarily have to be a knockdown three-point shooter like Tyrus McGee. Just somebody who can make one or two a game to keep the defense honest, and that helps a lot of the pressure then on the front court guys.
I would agree with that. All right, Bloom, how about we wrap this up? Do you have any more basketball notes you'd like to touch on before we do this?
The Big 12, Baylor's not getting enough credit. Okay, they are, I believe, they're third comfortably.
That's
right?
Who I have at
going
third.
Going into next year.
Because I had Iowa State at fourth, but I think Kansas State could still be that team. I think those two are, to me,
K-State, Iowa State are 4-5.
Flip a coin.
And Texas will be embarrassingly bad.
Yeah. And I need to make a change on mine because right now I have Texas ahead of TCU, but I actually think TCU probably will be better than Texas next year.
Well, TCU was so bad this year, but they've recruited well and they bring pretty much everybody back.
I don't think he's a horrible coach. I think he's horrible. I don't think he's great. But
I don't like the style that TCU played this year. I thought it was junky. It was Wisconsin-esque.
Yeah, it's like
that.
Big Ten basketball.
Yeah, it was like Big Ten, which there's no room for that in Big 12. Come on, we're in the 21st century now. If Iowa State finishes in the top four, they probably make the tournament again.
Correct.
Because the wins are coming from somewhere.
I think it's a five-bid league again.
4 or 5. And it's hard to say.
A month ago, I would have said 4, and I wouldn't have batted an eyebrow. Now I think it's a five-bid league.
Well, Kansas and Oklahoma State, I know people are upset that Kansas got Wiggins. It should be the opposite. Because what Wiggins gives Kansas is not only exposure, but their RPI will be better.
Correct.
And chances are Iowa State was probably not going to win down there anyway because they almost never do down in Lawrence. Well, not in the last 12 years.
Correct.
So they won in there in 05. But if you win one of two anyway, you might as well have them pretty good.
Well, I agree.
Because I think Kansas or Oklahoma State are going to win the conference.
Well, think about it. You're going to get two against Kansas. You're going to get two against Oklahoma State. Baylor's going to have a decent RPI because they generally play a decent non-conference schedule. Kansas State isn't going to hurt you. Virginia should be better.
The non-conference will be tough for Iowa State, so that will jack up the RPI. So if Iowa State wins 20 games, they'll probably make the tournament.
Yeah, getting that Auburn game was a gift.
Yes.
They didn't need anything tough like a road trip or anything like that. It's going to be a brutal non-con.
And losing at home, even if it was to a Mississippi and a Marshall Henderson, that's not good. So win that game. You have Michigan already. Yeah,
at BYU.
You go at BYU, which is almost impossible to win in Provo.
They won't win that game.
The Hawaii tournament has some decent teams. I think Iowa State could probably win 2 of 3 down there.
Well, you hope so. Who knows? You're in Hawaii. Who knows?
So
you have Iowa, which
home,
is a very – yeah, but that's still –
they're good. They're going to be good.
They're going to be a good team.
They're
going to
be
good.
You've
got Northern Iowa in that deal down in Des Moines.
And those – Iowa State and Northern – I think Iowa State has a slight edge, but not a huge edge.
Yeah,
there will not be
a Cyclone fan going into that game confident, guaranteed.
Especially with the history.
Yeah, if you're confident going into that game, then slap yourself in the face and dump some cold water on your head.
but exciting that Iowa State has the potential to make another tournament. You can't write it off in May.
Which I thought we were going to be able to, but that was before I just really assessed the Big 12 conference.
Exactly.
And I think that it's an opportunity for a young basketball team to play in the postseason.
Looking forward. November can't come soon enough. You know I'm a basketball guy.
You are. So. You're a basketball nut.
I'm excited for the Wiggins Big 12 era because I think he adds a layer of intrigue to this conference that needs more exposure because people don't realize how good the Big 12 is.
Yeah, and Oklahoma State's going to help too.
Yes.
We've talked a lot about Kansas. ESPN
will give Wiggins the Tebow treatment. Just wait.
You said it well, 1A, 1B. I got Kansas. He's got Oklahoma State. That's where we're at. All right. We're going to have another podcast for you next week when I'm in Mexico. We'll talk football, some just general thoughts on Big 12 football here in the month of May. Again, look forward to that Walters piece. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook. We're going to have stuff from the golf outing. And
Four-man best shot?
Four-man.
At Coldwater?
Yep. Just a little scramble action.
Is there any I've played in some where you can buy mulligans.
No, we don't do
none
that,
of
crap.
That.
None of that.
I'm predicting the winning score is 12 under.
That's pretty aggressive. I mean, you're assuming that's a decent team.
I'm guessing there's a couple ringers in there who want to brag to their friends that they beat Chris Williams.
I think my team's pretty good.
Who do you have?
So Jason Luch, the guy who owns this company.
I've seen Jason swing the club. He's pretty good.
Danny Wilson.
He's won the Cyclone Network outing a couple times.
He can play golf.
He's very good.
And then me, which I don't bring anything to the table other than a chip or two or a putt every once in a while.
But you bring tenacity.
Yeah. I talk a lot of trash.
Yes.
And then we have Tron.
Who, when he hits the ball, I mean, he could walk outside and probably hit it 350.
Yeah, but you don't know where it's going. I love golfing with Tron.
Well, have fun with it. I wish I could be there, but hopefully you guys all have a good time.
Once golfed with me and Tron, and we were playing best ball with Tom Herman and Ben Barkema.
Barks could probably hit the ball a long way.
He'd crush it, man. He just killed it.
Those football guys, it's hilarious to see them with a golf club.
No, because their whole mindset of the game is just skewed from what it should be.
Their idea is to hit it as far as possible.
Every time.
Who gives a heck where it goes on the tee ball? And then when they get inside 50 yards, which a lot of times is off their drive,
yeah,
then it's just haywire.
That's what Arnaud does.
It's like Plinko.
Arnaud, like, when he's like 100 out, he'll take a full swing. Even if it is a pitching wedge, that goes pretty far for a guy that big. And he just, you know, he doesn't rear down at all. He just goes for it.
Well, and then the club looks like a micro machine in those guys' hands compared to us, who looks like a normal golf club.
You know, Knott and Klein were supposed to play, but they got called into rookie camp, apparently.
Who needs the NFL? You can play in the second Atlantic golf tournament.
Yeah, that's what
I
told Jake to take an extra shot at Mike Vick for the dog fighting stuff for me. He did not respond to that text message.
Well, he shouldn't have.
Who knows if he's got an Iowa State phone? I mean, they'll go through his records and everything, and it could get media attention.
You won't be on Mike Vick's bad side.
No.
No, sir.
All right, Bloom. Hey, thanks for your help in advance next week. We appreciate it. It's been the Channel Seed Podcast. Check them out, channel.com. Find a Channel Seedsman near you. So long, everybody.